we're going to look a little bit. Obviously, it's our promotion Sunday, so I wanted to talk a little bit about the kids here. And, you know, it's always this kind of this thing of, that kid's graduating already? That kid's going off to college? That kid's getting out of junior high? And they grow up on us very fast. And so, you know, we look and we ask the question about kids, and we're like, well, what is it we want from them? What are we looking for in our children? Because, you see, as a church, we have this responsibility to train, to equip, to prepare them for life. And we really want some pretty basic things. We want them to be hard workers. We want them to be great students. And we really pray hard that their faith stays intact through those college years. And obviously, we pray for their spouses and marriage. And so those are the kind of the things that we would say, yeah, we're kind of into these things. We want to know what's going on in their lives. We want to encourage them in these directions. And if you've known me for any length of time, you will know several things about me regarding kids and going off to school. I'm for kids going to college, but I'm becoming less and less excited about it. And my reservation has continued to grow over the years, not because I don't want kids educated, but I'm concerned about the kind of education they are receiving. You know, we find out in the church world, kids leave home and they go to college. And many of them, the moment they leave our doors, the moment they leave this routine of life and they go someplace else, one of the first things to fall away is their attendance in church, their connection to the life of the body of Christ and those around them wherever they go. Our high school group, I was talking to them this last week, kind of, you know, final thoughts for them. I said, look, guys, no matter where you go, it won't feel like home any longer. It'll be different. Whether you like it here or not like it here, where you go won't feel like home. And so the natural thing to do is when you don't feel comfortable and it doesn't feel comfortable to you as you walk into someplace, because you're now the new person for the first time in 18 years, right? You're going to have the potential to walk back out the doors and not come back in. And so I just really encouraged them, wherever you go, you must get involved. You must make a commitment to being a part of the life of Christ, the body of Christ someplace. And even if you don't really like it, if you've tried three or four churches and you don't really like any one of them, I said, here's the answer. Get involved with one of them anyways and just lock yourself in. But what I get concerned about the education is just the direction education has taken. We are now seeing lots of things being taught and a lot of directions being taken in college that I would say I'm really concerned with. Obviously, I'm concerned more and more with the cost of college for kids. I'm really a big proponent of going to college debt-free. That means you have to go slower. You do what you have to do it. But last week I was talking to somebody. I'm sure it was Sue, and she says she shirts not. So either her memory has faded or my memory's really going bad fast. But the statement was something to the effect. Someone was talking to me. And then basically, when you send your children to Caesar to be educated, why are you surprised when they come back Romans? And you think about that for a minute. If you send them to Caesar to be educated, it's only natural when they get done being educated by Caesar as they come out being a Roman. And so, in our 10 o'clock service, that's going to be my counsel and encouragement to them is, whatever you choose for education, whatever direction you head in, you need to make sure it's something that's going to honor and reflect Christ. And much of the educational process that we have to be a part of doesn't do that very well. I know going to college maybe 30 years ago, whatever it was now, I had a few classes that were really great. I had a few classes that were super terrible, and I had a whole lot of other classes that were just pushing different agendas, and most of them didn't align with the Word of God. So as parents, I think we have a responsibility to intentionally send our kids in the right directions. While they're under our control, while they're under our care, we should be intentionally educating them. In fact, I find that many times we have a lack of education in certain arenas, and that lack of education many times will give them, highlighting for them, what our priorities and what our perspectives are. A really interesting one, as I talk with high school kids, it's really a fascinating one that we know is one of the major issues in marriage someday is, I ask them, what have you been trained in the way of finances? Because this is one of those things that the school system doesn't do a good job training you, and if the parents don't do it, then we have a huge blank. And most of the kids don't have very much training in finances even. And that's going to be the thing they have to figure out first. You got to make sure you can make your rent, right? You got to make sure you can have food on your table. So whatever we don't train them in, we're still sending messages to them. And so I want to just kind of highlight and keep reminding you, we need to be intentional. We need to be intentional with our kids, with our grandkids, with people that we simply have influence in their lives, not to assume things, not to say, oh, yeah, they got to figure out. No, be intentional in their lives. You know, this last year, my son, Seth, is just about ready to graduate. And This last year's been hard. All these kids have had a struggle with, you went from being in school every day to being isolated at home. And I watched the struggle all year long. And I watched it getting motivation, getting it done, doing it well. And yet, in the process, Seth started out with a civics class in the fall this last year. And in civics, you know, you talk about politics and all the things that come up in politics. Well, he had to get into politics a little bit because the class required it. Well, what was fun this year and what continues to be fun in my home right now is the fact that he will come in and say, "Hey, Dad, did you hear this?" And he'll tell me some new political news, right? And then we'll get in a conversation about it. And so in the last, I'd say last 7 months especially, we've had this ongoing conversation constantly about things that are happening in the political realm and things that are happening in the nation. And what I'm having a fun time doing, I'm having a fun time taking the thought process and mirroring it back to Scripture, mirroring it back to what does God's Word say about this process. And some of the best training I've done of him in this last year has been to do the things that people say and the things that their directions are heading with in our government, do they match with the Word of God? And if they don't match with the Word of God, then we need to do something about that. We have to reject that it cannot be truth. Now, as we've gone along, I see him getting sharper and sharper. He's listening to more different people with different points of view, and he's now becoming a good critique of those people. And it's because he simply had to be intentional to that piece of his life, and it started because his classroom assignment just said, you have to do it. So we want to educate, we want to encourage him, and today I'd like to just kind of go over, I've made 10 points. These are 10 things I want you to know as you head out the door into life, into college, and wherever else you're going. And I look at it and say, really, it's things that we all can benefit from if we choose to. Because there's things coming to our doorstep right now. There's things happening around us that I don't know if we're very aware of them. There's been a big thing about social justice. And Vodi Bautzen, I think is how you say his name. Vodi, he's a gentleman who preaches the gospel, great, great preacher. And he does a whole thing on YouTube, social justice versus biblical justice. When you and I hear justice, we think that's a good thing. But when you look at social justice, you're going to find out it's not such a good thing at all. You're going to hear a lot about critical race theory. And critical race theory, you're going to find out it's a very racist process just in another direction. And it's not a good thing at all, and yet they're promoting it and pushing it, and we're hearing it in the news all the time. We hear things about intersectionality. We hear things about equity. And when you begin to dive into these things, you begin to tear these things apart, you find out they're not God-centered, they're not God-oriented, and in fact, they're anti-God and where they come from. They're anti-Christianity where they're coming from. And so we need to know some things, and we need to hold to some things. So I've made a list of 10 things this morning I'd like to just to challenge you to continue to think about, continually to understand and process. First one is this. Know who you are and what you believe. Don't let an institution, don't let a college, don't let some other training you're receiving from someplace. Don't let something else tell you differently than the Word of God and what it tells you. I can't tell you how many people I talk to who hold on to fears, who hold on to insecurities about themselves, not because the Word of God says that's the truth, but that's how they feel. And I've said this for years, and I'll continue to say this. If I ever had to say I had it figured out to preach, I'd never preach to you. That's the truth of the situation. And every time I get thinking about all the pieces where I fail and all the faults I have, it makes me less likely to be like, what are you doing here? Why are you doing this? Because you obviously aren't qualified to do this. And so really quickly, this thing of inadequacy can kick in. And there was a point in my life I had to kind of finally just say, look, I know I feel super inadequate to this and this and this, and I see all the holes and all the things I do, yet at the end of the day, if I choose to be walking in that inadequacy, I'll never do what God told me to do. And so you need to know who you are. You need to know what you believe. You need to know what you're about. You need to be able to spot truth and error. And so my first encouragement to all of us today, as I would say to graduates as well, you need to know who you are and what you believe. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Now, I carry a document around with me from Neil Anderson's Victory of the Darkness, his book. But it's like 2.5-3 pages of who you are in Christ. And because Christ says this about you, this is true about you. And so many times we get caught. We don't get caught because Satan's out there doing this big, massive campaign against us. All he has to do is to get you to believe a lie. And the lie usually comes in who you are. And if you don't believe who you are according to God's standards, you have to listen to another voice, and the other voice you listen to will always lead you astray. So my first point of encouragement would be, know who you are. Stand on who you are. Know what Christ has said about you. Believe what he says and hold to it strongly. And if you choose not to, then you simply get suckered into a lie. And if Satan can get you to buy into a lie, he can take you a lot of directions with that lie. Know who you are and know what you believe. Number two, and this applies to us as much as it does to a graduate this morning. If you're not graduating, been around a long time, know that you don't have to have it all figured out right now. I can't tell you the amount of times I've talked to people and counseled with people who were lost and didn't know where they're going next. And as a result of it, they felt like their whole world was falling apart. I can promise you, there's a ton of decisions we're making all the time in our lives that when we look at the decision and we look around us, we really don't have a good clue what the next answer should be to that question or that situation in front of us. We don't know where to go next. And so what we usually do is we stop, we pray about it, we look around and we finally say, all right, Lord, I'm not sure what I'm going to do next, but I'm going to step in this direction. And I always ask people this really good question. Do you know what the Lord's conviction feels like? And most all of us, if we walked with the Lord for any length of time, we can say, uh-huh, been there, done that, right? I fought against the Lord. I resisted his conviction in my life. So we know what it feels like when there's conviction. Sometimes it's just like a weight on us. Sometimes it's like God doesn't give us sleep at night. Sometimes as soon as the thought process is brought up, everything inside us just goes weird. And we're like, no, this is not right. And we don't even know why. But we each experience his conviction a different way. But most of us have a pretty good clue when he's convicting us. In fact, the moment we want to turn and run from the topic that is in front of us, really good indicator that, hey, maybe there's something there we're supposed to check out. So we don't have to have it figured out. We don't have to have all the pieces put in a row in this moment of time. We simply need to keep honoring Christ as we walk. I can tell you, as I've been walking with my parents this last couple years, we've done a lot of land division and finishing up some estate stuff. There's a whole lot of questions we don't know when they're 75 and 80, right? We don't know. Well, what would be the best decision there? Well, we don't know that. And so no matter where you're at, when you don't know what you're doing, you don't have to be in a place where you have to have it figured out. We simply have to be sensitive to God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we know it very well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Think about that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't let your brain and your understanding get in the way, but lean on him, acknowledge him, trust him. He makes your path straight. And I was talking to somebody this last week, and they were discussing something in front of them was super unclear where to go next, but things behind them were incredibly clear. And they believe, God brought me to this point, but I'm just clueless from this point forward. Well, what do you do in that? You keep walking. Lord, let me honor you in the decisions I make and the directions I go. And Lord, if I get it wrong, bring me back quickly. And then we don't walk in fear. We don't walk in fear of missing the Lord and his will and his direction and his growth. We simply just continue to walk, making sure that we don't violate scriptural standards. And some of those scriptural standards are real simple. If what I'm going to do, loving of others, is it going to be harmful or is it going to be taking advantage of others? And somewhere in those three questions, you got a whole lot of it figured out. I don't do things that dishonor the Lord. I don't do things that cause harm to others unless it's a necessary harm because we're making things right. So, encouragement again to you this morning would be, just because you don't have it figured out, it's okay. Keep walking towards the Lord in what you're doing, and he will help you figure it out. Number three, know that you must be responsible for your own spiritual growth. I have lots of people who have come through elementary, junior high, then high school in this place, and they get out of school, and all of a sudden, no one's feeding them every week. Nobody's doing for them, and they suddenly realize, I have to become the adult in this process of learning how to walk in my faith outright. And unfortunately, it's easier sometimes because we get, quote, busy. And do you notice how no matter how busy you get, if there's something you enjoy and it's available to you, you have time for it? So we get busy, we make our wrong priorities, and we forget that I'm responsible for my own spiritual growth. The preacher could be the worst preacher in town. The people that are surrounding you, the people trying to encourage you, could be the worst possible ones. And guess what? You are still responsible for your spiritual growth. Nobody else but you. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. If we're responsible for spiritual growth, we're responsible to keep pushing and driving at a right relationship with God. It comes back with an understanding of scripture. all scripture is God-breathed. If you want to know what to be doing, where to go, how to grow spiritually, you always return to scripture. You can return to good conversations with people. You can return to groups of people. But you must always return to scriptures personally. Acts 17:11 says, "Now the Berean Jews were a more noble character than those of Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said is true." Especially if you're going someplace new, someplace different, you're going to have to become diligent to your faith. You're going to have to say, wait a minute, David said this, is that true? Because you should always look at everything I say and challenge it. I remember one Saturday night I came in to see Mom and Dad after church for a minute, and Dad says, "Why are you lying in church?" I look at my dad like, "What are you talking about?" "Well, you're lying in church this week." And so we got into some whole conversation, and I was talking about one story and mixed it up with another story, and so he was just messing with me. But you should challenge me. You should, wait, David, where does Scripture say that? Where did you get that from? Because if you don't, you're letting somebody else be responsible for your spiritual growth. You are responsible for your own spiritual growth. Psalms 119, 105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." If you're going to grow, you have to take ownership. My faith and my relationship with the Lord is mine. I have to walk it out. I have to be intentional to that. Number four, know that whatever you entertain will get your focus of your time. Whatever catches your attention will impact who you are. It'll impact what you invest into. Try staying home out of high school and playing video games and see what will happen to your life. It's a very interesting thing. Chase money and see what happens to you. See what emptiness it causes. Chase relationship with people and make it all about, I have to have this relationship with this person, and find out how that person won't satisfy you. Because you see, whatever we put in our time and our attention towards is the thing that gets our attention, and it holds us, and we invest into it. And too many times we're so worried about other things when what our attention and time need to really be focused on is, I need to be in a right relationship with Christ. And there's so many things that are taken care of when the rightness of relationship is in place. You know, I remind you of this in the last couple of weeks when we're going over the parables regarding wealth. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Know what you're entertaining. Know what you're pursuing. And then re-examine that in light of your relationship with Christ. And this is much more for us probably than a high school graduate right now. We began to chase certain things. And we have good rationale, we think, in our own heads. But if it doesn't lead us to Christ, then we're chasing the wrong thing. But whatever we chase, we'll get our time and we'll get our attention. Because wherever we put our treasure, our heart is right there with it. If you remember a quote I read from that little book out front there, The Treasure Principle. If you want to change your heart, you put your investment into something, your heart will follow it very quickly. I want to encourage you this morning, know whatever you entertain will get your time and your focus. What are you focusing on? Where's your time going? Number five, know that whatever you're chasing needs to reflect a desire to honor Christ. Mark 8, 36 and 37. "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world but yet forfeit their own soul? Or what can someone give in exchange for their soul?" Whatever you're about, it has to be about Christ. And there's a lot of times we spend a lot of time trying to figure something out. And we put a lot of stress and a lot of energy into it. When really, if we'd got our focus right to begin with, those things wouldn't have ever caught us and never caused us any stress. You know, people ask me what my thought process is to raising kids, and end of the day, I've got some really simple boundaries. I want to teach them to work hard. I want to teach them to respect people well and to love God with all their hearts. When they ask me about goals I have for them, my goal is real simple with my children. I want them to honor the Lord. I don't care what they become. I don't care where they go. I don't care what job they take. I don't care if they go to college or not. I don't care about those things. Because those things are always other issues. What I care is that if they follow Christ with their whole heart, wherever they're going will be the right place for them to be going. Plain and simple. And yet sometimes we start having other standards and we start chasing other things. And again, your desire to follow Christ, when it's foremost center of your life, the other stuff works itself out fine. and there's a lot less stress walking that place out. And too many times when we don't know what to do next, we try to figure it out when we simply need to let me reflect Christ with what I'm doing with my life right now. God will take care of the rest. He'll figure it out. Number six, know that your commitment to Christ will be challenged constantly, and complacency will be your great weakness. Complacency. We know the truth. We understand the truth. We know all about God's love. And sometimes we become so complacent in what we're doing. And pretty soon we find ourselves wandering from the things that we know we're about. Or pretty soon we began to cave on our standards and our morality. Or we began to justify behavior that falls outside of the Word of God. Your commitment to Christ is going to constantly be challenged. And where you're going to get in the most trouble is because you're going to become complacent. It's not going to be center focus of your life. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." 2 Peter 1:5 and 6, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness." What keeps me from becoming complacent in my faith? It's a constant pursuit of Christ. You know, I always tell people, I said, I don't understand a lot of older folks. I've seen so many people kind of surrender their talents and their gifts and their times. They say, well, it's somebody else's turn to do that. I've done that for years. I don't understand that statement. Because if God's given you a gift, it's yours to use for how long? Until he chooses to do something else, right? I don't understand. This church should be full of people who have tremendous wisdom and tremendous sensitivity to the Holy Spirit as they get older. Why? Because you simply had more time and experience with the Lord. And so we'd say a new believer, they're fun, they're exciting, and they're ready to go. But the longer you walk with the Lord, the more sensitive you should have become towards his Spirit's leading you. And while I understand that intellectually, sometimes I find myself becoming complacent in my faith. And sometimes there's great clarity when I pursue God in these matters. And other times, there's just complete fog. And most of the time when I have a complete fog, it's because I've become complacent. I'm not pursuing the Lord. I'm pursuing what my agenda is or what I'm looking for. So we know that your faith will be challenged. Don't let complacency get the best of you. And I work in the middle of this arena all the time, and complacency sometimes gets the best of me. Number seven. Know that one of the most important things you'll ever do in this life is pick a spouse. Make sure they honor Christ before all else. And right behind that, have in bold print, you too. You need to make sure you honor Christ before all else as well. Proverbs 18:22 says, "He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord." We know that marriage is a great thing. It's designed and ordained by God to be. The question is, what makes it good or bad is who you've married, who you put your time and your attention towards. You know, Scripture has a boundary to marriage, and the boundary is this, 1 Corinthians 7:39. "A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she's free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord." I can't tell you how many people have lived lifetimes of heartache because they married somebody who did not belong to the Lord. And as a result, the very thing they're passionate about, their faith in Christ, began to diminish and get kind of put on the shelf because their spouse wasn't walking with them. Now, again, I would say this is a minimal standard. You know, if they don't know, if they're not a follower of the Lord, you shouldn't be entertaining them. Minimal standard, not, oh, they're a Christian, it's all good. No, that's minimum standard. Now, is that the right Christian for you? But we know this, who you pick as a life mate is a huge part of the process. Number eight. Know that hard work still pays off. Build a good work ethic, which leads to success. I always tell kids, don't ever look for handouts. Our society is getting more and more to where we're trying to make everything free. Free college, I'm not that impressed with it because I don't think it's going to do what they think it's going to do. People are going to take advantage of something that's free. I remember in college, I had a friend. She sat right in front of me in class, and every day she came to class and complained about her parents. They didn't give her enough allowance. They were paying for her college education. They paid for her room and board. They paid for everything she had, and she complained almost every day I saw her. And I wanted to say some things to her that I decided not to say to her. But there's something to be said about working hard. There's something to be said about not accepting handouts and saying, I'll make my way and I'll do it well. If you're a hard worker, you'll always have something you can do. And a lot of people say, well, that doesn't sound really biblical. Well, I think it is. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for your human masters. Remember, we're supposed to do well, not just when the master's eye is on us, but when we're out in the field all alone. Are we working hard? If we learn to work hard and put a good work ethic in place, it's amazing how many things become easy for us. Proverbs 14:23, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talking leads only to poverty. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 through 12, for even when I was with you, we gave you this rule. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you become idle and disruptive. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we commend and urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and to earn the food that you eat. Not real complicated. When you learn to work hard, you honor God, you honor others, and even your work ethic points people towards Christ. Number nine. Know that you have to spend less than you make. Sounds real simple, I know. Proverbs 27:23, be sure you know the condition of your flock. Give careful attention to your herds. Proverbs 22:7, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower slave to the lender. If we can make that one piece a huge part of our kids' lives or a part of our lives, guess what it keeps us from? All kinds of stress and all kinds of financial worries. If you simply spend less than you make. Not real complicated. And yet we have an incredibly hard time because we always want more, and we're so used to being gratified and satisfied in the moment that we don't put off expenditures because we want them now. If you have someone coming out of high school into college with that understanding, it's going to save them a lot of heartache in the next 5 to 10 years of their lives. Don't spend more than you make. And number 10, you need to know that you need church. And you need to get involved regardless how busy or distracted your life gets. This is where it begins. Kids leave high school. We have a whole bunch of them this year, 12 of them leaving high school. And my greatest fear for them is that they go someplace and the life of the church quits being a part of their life. We have lots of scriptures to say, hey, you should be there. You should be in fellowship. You should be using that place to grow, to build each other up in faith. Hebrews 10:24-25 says this, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Matthew 18:20, for where there are two or three gathered in my name, there I am with them. Colossians 3:16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Romans 12:4-5. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many form one body, each member belongs to all the others. If you're too busy for church, you are simply just too busy, or you have the wrong agenda. And you have to own that. And if we could train and teach and equip our young adults with that mentality, it would keep them from a lot of wandering years and keep them from a lot of places going to do things. But you know what? As adults, it's the same thing. This last year of COVID, guess what I've seen again and again? People have become out of the habit of attending church, of building their faith and being with other believers and encouraging one another and speaking truth to each other and being taught and teaching and doing all the things that we do as a church family. They've stopped doing those things because it became inconvenient or become there was a risk to it, or it didn't seem like it was going to work for a season of time. And now those very same people are sitting at home each week and they're not having any influence on anybody else's life or vice versa for spiritual things. I want to encourage you. If you're in that place where that's being a part of the life of the church is hard, do it. Do it. Again, I told you a couple weeks ago, this is not a consumer church. If you're here, you're here with purpose. You're here for the benefit of somebody else. And if you're here, you should be involving yourself. You should be investing yourselves to this place. And if it's someplace else you're supposed to be, you should be there investing yourself because, you see, we come together with purpose. We come to teach, to instruct, to encourage, and then we come to equip to go and evangelize the world around us. And so this is not a place where you come in and you become a consumer. This is a place you're an active participant. And if it becomes a consumer-driven thing, there's something wrong. There's something wrong when you see yourself showing up, doing what you're supposed to do and going home. I've done my time. I've gone to service. Not what it's about. The church is so much more than that. And so I want to just encourage you this morning that the church has got to be central focus of your life. Not because we have it figured out, because guess what? you've already realized this, I know, but we're a pretty messed up bunch of people here. We don't have it figured out. We're not like this, oh, that's a great place that got all this stuff going for. No, we're just the church here in Lomarica doing what we're supposed to do to further the gospel. And so there's always a reason not to be here. There's always a reason not to encourage each other. But I can promise you, years of experience tells me this. How I come to church each week depends what gets to happen. There was times I used to was really struggle, kind of a burnt out period where I was just kind of getting through the motions for a while. And it was amazing to me every morning on the way to church if I'd start praying this, Lord, use me today to encourage others. Lord, use me today to encourage others. I came with a different perspective. I didn't come, get it done, and go home. I came looking the whole time, who's somebody to encourage, who's somebody to speak to, who's somebody to pray with, who's somebody just to sit and talk with for a while. And it changed my perspective when I decided that, you know what, my role is not to show up and leave. My role is to engage and to be involved. So if we could teach our young folks to do that, guess what? Their lives are going to go in radically different directions than going off on their own and not having time for the life of the church. So let me paraphrase real quickly. Know who you are and what you believe. You don't need to have it all figured out right now. You keep pursuing Christ. Know it's your responsibility to grow spiritually. Know that whatever you entertain will get your time, your focus, and your attention. Knowing whatever you're chasing needs to reflect Christ and honor Christ. Know that your commitment to Christ will be challenged and complacency will be your weakness. Knowing that picking a spouse is a huge part of what you do and where you walk in this life. Work hard. Spend less than you make. And invest yourself into the life of the church. Now, that's for my graduates today. I don't think I have any graduate in the house right now at 8:30. But all of those things absolutely and completely apply to us today as well, don't they? Those are things we should be walking and praying about and seeing to make sure that our focus is right in those things. So let's stand together and pray today. Father, we just come this morning and we thank you that you give us each other, brothers and sisters in Christ, for fellowship, for encouragement, for strengthening, for correction, for teaching, for all those things. Father, I pray that we would operate as the body of Christ, that we would come here ready to give of ourselves for the purpose of others. And Father, this morning we pray especially for our graduates. They're making major decisions in their lives. They're making decisions that are going to dictate the next 10, 15, 20 years of their lives. And Lord, we ask that you would just be with them, that Father, you would guide them. But Father, more importantly, that they would have a heart that's completely after you. Lord, as a church family, let us encourage them today and let us in the next years be praying for them, and as we get opportunity to give counsel or advice to do that with your Spirit's leading. Father, we thank you for those who've just come out of college who have worked so hard that we honored 4 years ago as they're going through graduating high school. We ask that you would just use them to be about the gospel. Use them to make an influence every place they're working at and every family that they're raising, Lord, that they would be about your purposes. Father, for those going into college right now who are still trying to figure out where to go and what to do, I pray that you would just allow them to be a point of light on that campus, that others would see them and know that something's different about them. They'd be drawn to them. Give them the boldness to speak out. In a world that tells them they can't say those things, let them have the boldness to speak your truth well. And Father, for those who are going into high school, we know the next few years are critical years. The friends they take on, the things they get involved with, have a huge impact on their lives. So we ask that you would give them wisdom, give them a heart for you, give them the ability to say no to temptations that they know are wrong. So we just ask that you will bless them and direct them and keep them in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.
Thank you. Yes, has he? What monitor do you need? Sue, who's doing sound? Are you still doing sound? Mike, Sammy just got here, so he's going to need some monitor. And Silas, they just got here, so.
Check, check, check. Have we played it before?
No.
Okay. Can I see your vocals to see if it's in my monitor?
Test one, two, test.
I'm gonna
test.
Need some more. I need some more Kim.
Test one, two, test, test. Where is Becky?
Is Becky playing today?
Yep.
Kim?
I don't understand why she's doing.
Can we give a shot?
Jesus, hold my hand.
Nice. I can't hear you guys at all, though. So.
Hey, Sam.
Hey, Mike. I need to get some more of Kim's vocals and Sam's guitar. I can't hear.
Both vocals and guitar?
Yep. Yeah, vocals and guitar in four, please. No, I'll just have him do it.
Hey, Sam. Sam. So, when you ended this, apparently I... Oh, but what did you do? What chords did you play? No, I didn't know what you were playing. Okay, so Blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
I can hear Kim more, yeah.
Okay, can you hear Rhonda?
Do you repeat that line?
Can you give a little of Rhonda vocal in the drums as well?
Okay. Okay, all right. That works. I just want to, you look like, I was like, I don't know where you're going.
No, I hear it. It's just, I just need the levels up a little bit.
Mike.
Yeah, thank you.
Can you put a little of her vocal in Sammy's vocal? She's okay.
Thank you. Thank you. What's the next song?
Better is One Day, and I don't have a copy for you.
Oh, that's fine. That's
I
fine.
Maybe
hit me with the hand signals, though.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I am happy, though, because I did get, like, 7 hours of actual sleep, so that was
great. Nice. Did you have fun last night?
So much fun.
Good.
It was a good time.
Riley, got any pictures on your phone? I do. Come see me. Come see me.
couple of them, I think. Yeah. So it was so much fun.
Is that roses? What is that?
You're telling me.
Woo. I didn't know they had roses there.
Oh, no, she loved
it. Wait. So that's the other side of it. Like, okay, so it's over here. Wow.
Four till.
I tell you what I heard.
Four till.
I know you're like, oh, is that really a good idea? Yeah, but it looks good.
Oh, great night. Definitely like A1. Denny's was a little sketch because it took us an hour to get our food, and the waitresses were like really bad. Like, it probably took us 30 minutes just to get our drinks that we ordered. And it was like water and coffee. So we're like, yeah. For sure, yeah.
No, you're talking Calvin.
Yeah. No, Bella definitely had a good time. Yeah.
That's awesome. But there was a bummer, but they started singing after like 11 o'clock,
yeah.
So it kind of ruined the vibe when they were, you know.
Seth had fun too, I know.
Taking chairs off. Yeah. So we ended up leaving at 11:30 because the plan was to stay at 12 to 8.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird thing.
Oh, me? No, it's fun to have, but I did realize how much, because I filled it up on gas before I gave it to Sue. And just going from Sue's house to town and stuff like that, it was a quarter of 10. I mean, I was driving it pretty hard, but yeah, I was like, so. But it was, I mean, it was so much fun. And Riley had no idea that was the best part. Oh, yeah, that was the whole point. She had no idea. So I pulled up to her house to pick her up. And
I'm so glad you guys got
to. And it's like back by
a trunk. Oh, did you have to wear
masks? She's like, what? Who is this? Yeah.
When you're waiting to come in, and when we went in, they tried to piss you off.
Yeah, so she's got my truck. We're going to swap vehicles today, Trish.
After like first 15 minutes, they just gave up trying to tell us to wear masks. But it's like, did you pull down the mask?
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. It's good to have you here this morning. Let's go ahead and stand together. Let's stand up and we'll get ready to start our service together. All righty. Well, Father, we just come this morning. We are so thankful to you, Father, for your goodness and your mercy in our lives. Lord, we know we come with nothing to offer you in this place except just the right heart. And so this morning we ask that you give us right hearts. Father, we ask that this morning you would challenge our thinking and understanding, that we would reflect you. And Father, today as we honor our graduates and we promote the kids up to different classes, Lord, thank you for the kids you've put in our lives. Thank you for how you have grown them in the faith. And Father, today I pray we would just do a good job of just celebrating their successes together and just loving on them and valuing them as well. So we just commit this day to you. I pray in our time of just singing together that our hearts should be in the right place, our focus should be in the right places, and that you would get all the praise and all the glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Well, good morning. Happy Sunday. How's everybody today? Are we ready to worship?
Yes.
I can't hear you.
Yes!
You guys don't have mics. I think we need to give everybody microphones in this place. David, let's do it. So we're going to sing an old one, an old hymn this morning. Was introduced to me by Rhonda and Larry quite a while back, and it's been in my heart to want to sing it again because it's just such a fun song. It's just a little, it's a little diddly is what I call it. It's a Jesus diddly. And so anyway, I hope you guys know it. Some of you might know it, some of you might not, and I hope you love it. So. I could sing that all day long. I love that song. Okay, thank you, Lord.
Thousands elsewhere. to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. One thing I ask, and I would see, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts, a thousand elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts, a thousand elsewhere. Cry out for you, the living God. Your spirit's water to my soul. I've tasted and I've seen. Come once again to me. I will draw near to you. I will draw near to you. Better is one. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, a name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save.
who here knows that Jesus is our way maker? Amen. Without him, church, we're not much. And I think that if anything, what's gone on in the last year has really shown us that. He's been our way maker. He's been our faith, our strength. He's made a way when it looks impossible. He gives us peace on the way, even when that looks impossible. Nothing looks peaceful right now, Lord, but here he comes. Yes, it is.